From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself, as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. We are told that the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. Therefore, we who are sinful, and who are far from being perfect, must not wonder if we are called to pass through suffering too. Shall the head be crowned with thorns, and shall the other members of the body be rocked upon the dainty lap of ease? Must Christ pass through the seas of His own blood to win the crown, and are we to walk to heaven dry-shod in silver slippers? No. Our Master's experience teaches us that suffering is necessary, and the true-born child of God must not, would not escape it if he might. But there is one very comforting thought in the fact of Christ's being made perfect through suffering. It is that he can have complete sympathy with us. He is not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In this sympathy of Christ we find a sustaining power. One of the early martyrs said, "I can bear it all. For Jesus suffered, and He suffers in me now. He sympathizes with me, and this makes me strong." Believer, lay hold of this thought in all times of agony. Let the thought of Jesus strengthen you as you follow in His steps. Find a sweet support in His sympathy. And remember that to suffer is an honorable thing. To suffer for Christ is glory. The apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to do this. Just so far as the Lord shall give us grace to suffer for Christ, to suffer with Christ, just so far does He honor us. The jewels of a Christian are His afflictions. The regalia of the kings whom God hath anointed are their troubles, their sorrows, and their griefs. Let us not, therefore, shun being honored. Let us not turn aside from being exalted. Griefs exalt us, and troubles lift us up. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him.
Fill me as Thou wast.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the life and earthly ministry of Christ, he is bringing a message entitled, Christ, the Savior and Satisfier of the Soul. The setting is the Feast of Tabernacles, recorded in John chapter 7. It was at this particular feast that the Lord Jesus gave the greatest declaration of his messianic claims. It was an observance of God's deliverance of his people through their wilderness wanderings, a feast marked by great joy, especially in the ritual of the pouring out of water. It was at that point that Christ stood and cried, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Lord Jesus was showing himself as the fount of saving grace. It was a graphic assertion that the Old Testament rituals were powerless to save souls. Only the incarnate Son of God has the power to bring souls out of the darkness of sin into the light of God. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, Christ, the Savior and Satisfier of the Soul.
Instead of looking for references to the water flowing out of the belly, what the Savior meant was the spiritual implication of it, of the outpouring of the Spirit, and that is a major theme of Old Testament prophecy. And the Jews understood that. Thus, they were full of joy. Imagine the scene then. The priest arrives back at the temple from Siloam, and he pours out the water by the side of the altar. The chant of the great Hallel swells until it fills the air. The priests march around the altar seven times, crying, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." When they reach the end of their seventh circuit, there is a brief interval while other priests prepare the festal sacrifices. And at that time, that is immediately after the symbolic outpouring of the water, immediately after the circuit around the altar and the repetition of the great Hosanna, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ rose strong and clear, filling the Temple Mount. And he cries, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." In other words, he was giving them the true interpretation of everything in which they'd been engaged. And I tell you, in all the ministry of Christ, as recorded in the four Gospels, there is no greater, no more glorious, or no more public proclamation of his messianic claims and message than he gives here. Today I want us to join the throng on that last great day of the feast. It's difficult to move from one culture to another. It's difficult to move from one period of history to another. And I've taken all the time that I have this morning to try and paint the picture of what was happening so that we may try to enter into the thrill of that majestic moment when he who spake as never man spake lifted up his voice and cried for all to hear, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Let's try to grasp what Christ's words must have conveyed to those who heard them and what they must convey to us today. Because as I look at these words, I find that the Lord Jesus Christ sets forth himself as the Savior and the Satisfier of needy souls. And he invites all who long for God's salvation to come to him and find it. And then when he gives this invitation, he actually paints three beautiful word pictures of himself. And I want us to concentrate on those this morning. He sets forth himself first and foremost as the fount of saving grace. Amid all the pomp and the pageantry And the somber ritual of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Lord Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It's as if he were saying to all those thousands of Jews gathered there, all that you've been seeing and participating in, all these things are symbolic. In themselves, they have no power to meet the needs of your souls. They carry no inherent saving virtue in them. Their only purpose is to point you to me. Just yesterday you were asking, is he the Christ? Now here is your answer. And if you feel a need, deep and real within your soul, if you feel the need of grace to remove the guilt of your sin, if you feel the need of pardon and peace in your heart and in your conscience and peace with your God, you know that all the ritual in the world can never meet the needs of your soul. You know that after all the exuberance is past, and after all the chanting and the singing is over, and after all the fellowship is finished, you know you're going to have to go home. And in the loneliness and the solitude of your own hearts, you know that nothing that you have done has lastingly met the need of your soul. These cannot meet your needs, but I can. That's his message. I can. In days of old, the Lord Jesus, in effect, was saying, in days of old, Jehovah stood up and addressed Israel. And he said, as recorded in Isaiah 55 and 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Well, once again, Jehovah stands before you with the very same word of grace. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Lord Jesus also was reminding these people, this feast recalls your wilderness journey. When the Lord brought you through the wilderness and brought water out of the rock to satisfy your needs, I am that rock. I am the fount of all saving grace. That's the self-revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ gave that wondrous day on the Temple Mount. And what a glorious truth it is. I want you to understand what it's saying. Never forget it. There is an abundance of saving grace, fresh and flowing and never ending. There is an abundance of saving grace for every needy soul. There is an abundance of grace in Christ to meet the needs of the thirsty soul, to save him, to keep him, to sanctify him, to satisfy him, to bless him, to build him up, to refresh him, to revive him, to keep him in life, to bring him through the wilderness, to bring him to glory and set him in heaven. There is an abundance of saving grace for every thirsty, needy soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. The needs of the soul cannot be met by religion. Even Let me say it very solemnly and searchingly, even by God-ordained religion. The Feast of Tabernacles was not dreamt up by the mind of man. It was instituted by the mind and will of God. But even in God-ordained religious ceremony, there is no power to save. Understand that. It was speaking of the God-ordained service of the Lord's table that Jude spoke of men who were twice damned and plucked up by the roots. They said they are spots on your feasts of charity while they feast themselves with you without fear. There are people sitting feasting at the Lord's table, exulting in taking part in a God-ordained ceremony and celebration, and they are damned to a lost eternity. Understand what he's saying? The needs of the soul cannot be met by religion or religious ritual or ceremony. The needs of the soul cannot be met by the world with its rationalism, its worship of man and his intellect and his attainment. The needs of the soul cannot be met by scientific endeavor or investigation. One of the saddest sights in late Victorian England was to see an old man who was world famous, perhaps the leading biologist of his day, certainly the leading exponent of Darwinianism of his day, the man who put bishops and preachers to flight with his bitter invective against all that they believed. His name was Thomas Huxley. One Sunday morning, Thomas Huxley was speaking to a friend who was a Christian. He said, "I suppose you're going to church." He said, "I am." He said, "Why don't you stay here and talk to me about religion?" He said, "No, I'm not clever enough to debate with you." He said, "I don't want you to debate with me. Just stay and tell me what it all means to you." And that man stayed and he poured out his testimony. And he told the great man of science his experience and all that God in grace through Christ had done for him. Nearing an agnostic's grave and a rebellious sinner's hell, tears welled up in Thomas Huxley. They said, "I would give my right arm if only I could believe that." What a way to die. What a way to perish. You don't meet the needs of the soul by any scientific, intellectual, literary, or other attainments of the world, or by the recreations and pleasures and wealth or whatever that this world can give. There's only one fount of every blessing. There's only one fount of saving grace. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, the second person of the eternal Trinity, manifested in flesh for our salvation, And he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. I am the fountain of all grace. If you need to be saved this morning, salvation is not only of the Lord, it's in the Lord. If you are saved and you're here as a Christian with the need of grace, you find grace in Christ. We as Christians often make the mistake of going everywhere but the right place to find the grace we need. There is help in church, there is help in fellowship, there is help in conversation, there is help in reading good books, there is help here, there, and everywhere among God's people, no doubt, if, and it's a big if, ultimately it is all to lead us to Christ. He is the fountain of saving grace.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.